Hey, Tom.
Hey, JC.
What was that?
It's the extended version. I've done this a few times, so.
Yeah, true. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
And to you as well.
Are we at Mass right now?
I don't know. I don't think I'm generally allowed in churches, especially Catholic ones. They've got all that smelly stuff, that the smoke and the ball and the swinging and the, I don't know.
All the incense? Yeah, man. I used to set that up. I was an altar boy. You knew that. Maybe.
Did I know that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
That's a believable trait, though. I can see that.
Yeah, back in when I was a good little boy.
That was such a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Wrestling happened, Jason.
Wrestling happened, yep. They made me watch 3 hours of Monday Night Raw.
Goddamn Stone Cold, some bitch.
They made me watch a freaking hour-long six-man elimination tag match that it went nowhere. Much like this cold open. So we're just going to talk about Survivor Series this week.
And we're definitely not going to talk about Wrestling Crate.
No.
But you should get one.
You should.
I hear it's from Texas this month.
It is. I got a Terry Funk t-shirt because Texas. I got a Stone Cold t-shirt.
It's the most Texas thing you can get.
I got a Stone Cold t-shirt.
The second most.
Because Texas.
That's the second most Texas thing.
I got a Dustin Rhodes Gold Dust pin. And like pin that you write with. Because I got a Booker T like lapel pin. But I
thought he was from Harlem.
He's from Houston.
I thought Gold Dust was from Hollywood.
No. Well, but it says Dustin Rhodes. There's just like floating gold dust in the end of it. It's
So was it a natural pin?
Sure, we'll go with that. There was no Von Erich stuff, however.
Oh, no. Perhaps the Von Erich family would not release the iron claw that keeps that stuff.
The Von Erich family crate is shipped by Marley Drug, I believe. Yeah, you have to order off the, you know, off catalog for that. Anyway.
Quality generic merchandise. Are they a sponsor of ours?
No, and now they won't be. Because we've totally just insinuated the fact they may be shipping prescription tranquilizers to the U.S. Postal Service.
To pick up trucks in the middle of farmland.
Twice. Anyway, let's talk about Survivor Series.
Yeah, that's something that... Oh, I shouldn't go there. you transition from the Von Erichs to the Survivor Series.
All right, yeah, let's bail out of this. Tom, can you ring the bell for me?
Please.
You're listening to the Cheaters Never Pin podcast, a proud part of the Section 328 Network, bringing you all the best in wrestling from WWE, New Japan, and beyond. Now, live from ringside, it's Mr. Workrate and JC.
Buddies, it's the Cheaters Never Pin podcast. My name is JC. Here next to me at the commentary table to the stars is my good buddy, Mr. Work Great, Tom.
Great to be here as always, JC.
Isn't it?
It is.
It is. A couple days early because of the Thanksgiving holiday here in the U.S. In case we have international listeners, I don't know.
You never know.
But if you are, even if you're not, happy Thanksgiving. Go give some thanks. Eat a turkey.
We've probably... after some of our earlier episodes, we've probably eliminated any possibility of Saudi Arabian listeners. So,
I'm sorry, I've not heard of that country before.
Country redacted.
Ah, okay. Yes, I'm familiar.
Yes.
So before we kick off into the Survivor Series talk and the 800 things that are coming out of it, let's talk about this podcast for a second, Tom.
Okay.
We have a podcast. And you're subscribed to it, and you're listening, so that's one thing. Thank you.
I was wondering why I was wearing a headset in bed.
We're thankful for you on this Thanksgiving, the listener.
Yes.
Number two, we announced this last week, we have an app on Roku, so you can then just listen to us in bed.
Yeah, you can just, like, you know, fire up your Roku, whether you have a Roku-branded television, or you've got one of those tiny little boxes that you attach to your television. Mm-hmm. And go into the Roku channel listings and download it. Takes a couple of seconds. It's not a big download. And then get the giant Cheaters Never Pin logo. I'm making hand gestures, as if you can see. It's a rectangle. It's a rectangle yeah. shape,
uh-huh.
like what a television generally is.
Oh.
And it lists all of our podcasts, so you can listen to our most recent one or one from like a year ago where you see how bad we used to be.
Right. Also, if you're listening to it, it's a great way. You know, Wednesday night, tomorrow night, the night before Thanksgiving, traditionally the busiest day of the year in bars in the United States, because no one wants to be with their family, so they all go out drinking. So tonight, if you're going out and you find a young lady at the bar and you bring her back to your place, set the mood with us via your Roku.
Yeah. Go with last week, the Gregorian edition. Women dig that big time.
You don't know they're not going to dig this one.
They might, but I mean, I'm just going for the sure thing.
We'll find out.
Because, as you know, November 22nd is the earliest day Thanksgiving can be in November.
Damn straight. Then number three, we have something new, Tom.
Do we now?
Have you ever dreamt of hearing Cheaters?
Yes.
God damn it.
I don't remember them, though.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that I have.
Have you ever imagined that you would wake up and ask your Amazon Alexa-enabled devices for the news in the morning, and you'd get to hear all your favorite wrestling news from your favorite people?
So wait. Now, I've done this before. I have a Amazon device.
Yeah.
Whose name I will not say.
I did just set mine off.
I was going to say, it's going to set yours off. Mine's actually downstairs, so it won't actually trigger it, but the Amazon Alexa device, and sometimes I go, you know, I want to hear the news of the day, and it'll tell me like NPR, it'll tell me the weather, just kind of give me a quick rundown. You're telling me that I can get wrestling news?
You can. If you go to your Alexa app, or you go to bit.ly/C(C)NPflash. I'll put that in the show description.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yep.
I've already forgotten it.
And we'll tweet it like crazy. bit.ly/C(C)NPflash. There we go. You can install and add to your flash briefing the Cheaters Never Pin update skill, which is 2 or 3 minutes every day. What happened on Raw? What happened on SmackDown? What's happening in the wrestling world? Right into your ear holes as you have your morning coffee.
So as I'm having my morning coffee,
yeah,
I can hear the dulcet tones of JC telling me in a NPR type style, not too over the top, not too much, no yelling, no vulgar language, but just straight up information so that I can go into my day. I can potentially go to the comic store that I might work in and be able to have this information that I could communicate with my wrestling fan customers just by getting that daily information.
Heck yeah. When you get to
I'm
work
excited.
And when your boss goes, did you see what happened on Raw? And you are thinking like, no, it's 3 hours. I hate that crap. Now you'll know what happened and you can at least fake the conversation. You're welcome for your raise.
Yes. This is genius. Why didn't we come up with this quicker?
I have no idea. And it's family friendly, unlike this podcast.
Right.
Which I don't think I've cursed once yet so far.
Not in this take, no. Nope.
Not once in this take at all. I'm going to try the rest of the show.
I believe in you, Jason.
We're going to try this. And I think this is a good one to start with.
We can do it.
I think I can ease into it this time to keep it a little more family friendly. I don't have to yell about Nia Jax just shooting on people. We should be fine.
Right.
We're going to yell about other people shooting on people.
There's not too much anger in this episode.
No, it's a nice episode.
There's a couple of attempted murders that we'll talk about later, but it's, you know,
not
a big deal. Yeah. It's not like a girl got punched in the face.
We literally already just talked about suicide in the cold open. So attempted murder is nothing.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah. All right. Survivor Series happened this past Sunday.
It did.
What were your overall thoughts and perceptions of the show?
Overall, I mean, I thought it was an okay show. I mean, it just didn't stand out. I think, again, it deals with the hangover of NXT TakeOver and what awesome shows those TakeOver shows end up being. So if you've watched those shows going into Survivor Series or, you know, the WWE pay-per-view the following day, it's always kind of gearing itself to a letdown. But there was some quality sports entertainment in it, but I wouldn't call it like an all-time show or anything like that, but it was fine.
Yeah, I would say it was like a 3.5 or a 4 out of 5. It was a stronger show, but not, you know, wasn't groundbreaking and crazy. There's a lot of stuff coming out of it that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to as we run through the matches here. But yeah, yes. fun show. Greatly enjoyed it. Man, this 6 hours though, when you count the pre-show, which didn't matter, it was nice to be told that the pre-show tag team match didn't matter.
Right.
Yes. Which the SmackDown, Team SmackDown won. And the rumor is, yeah, sorry. Meltzer was reporting because, you know, Brian, what happened? The left hand wasn't talking to the right hand, Brian.
I love how your Dave Meltzer is Professor Frank.
I don't know why. That's just how I know that's not what he sounds like. I subscribe to The Observer. I listen to Wrestling Observer Radio. But, like, I know that's not his voice, but that's how I hear him.
Well, I mean, all good wrestling podcasts do impressions and use some liberties with their impressions.
Yeah. That's my one.
Yeah.
Because everyone works. Knows my Terry Funk is spot on.
Sure.
But yeah, so the rumor the Meltzer was reporting was that apparently whoever produced the match forgot that it was supposed to be a clean Raw sweep, and so they booked a SmackDown finish. Now, my question to this was, in the utter stupidity of this statement by Dave Meltzer, don't they go over the stuff at the production meeting? Wouldn't the producer have stood up and been like, yeah, here's the plan, and SmackDown wins, and Vince would be like, oh, no, god damn it.
Maybe Vince doesn't care about the pre-show.
Is that what Kanye is going to stand up and yell on some fundraiser? Vince doesn't care about the pre-show.
Would he say that as Linda McMahon is named like Secretary of Defense or something like that? I don't know what's going
to
happen.
I don't know. I just want to see Mike Myers blankly stare into the camera when it happens. yeah, so Team SmackDown won, and it literally didn't matter because apparently it wasn't supposed to happen. Cool. And this match also was a cluster.
Whenever you're going to have 20 wrestlers in the ring, it's going to be a mess.
And I tweeted about this, and you're going to hate me for it. The Revival was the worst part of this match. When it got down to the end and they were there, they were human botch machines. I don't know if they were just off that. I don't know if they were off Sunday night. I don't know what it was. But it was just one terrible thing. I don't know if one thing fell apart and then it just threw them off or what, but it was bad.
I mean, that's possible because they're so big on like their chemistry and, you know, the double team moves and everything like that, that if something gets thrown off, they end up, you know, you end up having.
And that's why they lost Monday night, because Lucha House rules were thrown into their face and they didn't expect that.
They decapitated that poor pinata.
Like, isn't that a handicap match?
Oh, yeah. But it's Lucha House rules.
How is that a baby face gimmick? Shouldn't that be a heel gimmick?
Our rules are we can use as many wrestlers as we want to, and that's it.
And the Renee being like, it's like the Freebird rule, and Corey just shutting that ish down immediately. Like, no, it's nothing like the Freebird rule, Renee.
You mentioned that just reminds me of, I had retweeted a picture earlier, today or yesterday, I guess it was. It was just a picture of, it was Big Van Vader with like his mask on in New Japan, Bam Bam Bigelow and Steve Dr. Williams. And the caption was, it's like the Freebird rule. If the rule is you die at the end.
Accurate.
Yeah.
So that was the pre-show. We did also find out Natty.
No, I was just going to say, it just sunk into me that all three of those guys are dead. But anyway, go ahead.
That's true. Wow. We're not even doing the 10 count. There's all this death on the show today. They joined
and the 10th of murder coming up. So
coming soon. Yeah. The only other things that happened on the pre-show, Natty and Ruby Riott got into a fight. And so they got kicked off the team by Alexa Bliss. And she put Sasha and Bayley in. Cool.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. And Naomi was named team captain of SmackDown. And then R-Truth tried to be on the team. R-Truth was the most consistent storyline on this show, which is a good thing. All right. So then the main show starts. And we start with the women's elimination match, where Nia Jax is the sole survivor. Because, of course.
Because they're going to make money off of this. They're going to insist that they can make money off of this.
Well, and here's the whole thing. Like, they're calling her hashtag facebreaker. Shoot me in the face. Like I'm a Von Erich. Sorry. We started with that early. Now I got to keep it going.
Take four.
Oh, we're already almost 20 minutes into this dumb, so we're sticking with it. Yeah, we tried to make that let's pull back the curtain a little bit. We tried to make the cold open work two times before this one you just heard. It's still not funny. I deeply apologize for our jokes. My jokes. I'm not even going to bring Tom into this.
No, I had nothing to do with that.
No. Anyway, Nia Jax is the hashtag facebreaker. And at one point Monday night, Cole used three hashtags about her in a row. And
it's become that Chick-fil-A commercial on the radio.
Yes.
Where the woman just says, like, somebody tweeted something and hashtag this and hashtag that. And I've broken three radios listening to it.
Yeah. So they're going to ride this, man. She's getting a huge push off of this. And
they wanted to market her so badly.
Well, I mean, that's what I talked about last week, right? Like, she gets all this positive press because of being the person that she is, which is a great human being. I'm not discounting anything on Lena Fanine. Whatever.
I don't know.
Anyway, whatever her name is, the real person that is Nia Jax, she's a great person. She's terrible in the ring, and she's hurting people. So maybe we don't push her in a wrestling promotion. So this I saw this on Reddit today. Sasha Banks liked an Instagram image, and everyone found it because Sasha liked it. That is of a sign from Raw Monday night that just says, Nia, I feel compelled to stress that we are not booing you because of your effective heel work, but because we are booing you because you are simply awful.
Yes, I did see that, and it's a little awkward.
I'm like, it's a wordy sign, but that's funny. Heart, Sasha Banks.
That'd be a sign that I would do.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Nia goes on to confront Rousey Monday night too. Just stares her down, flashes the fist. Cool.
Probably the best promo she's ever done. Because no words were actually said. It was simple, to the point, and it was over quickly.
Yeah. Seth Rollins defeated Shinsuke Nakamura, 21 minutes, 50 seconds, in a really good match.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, nothing major comes out of this because it's, you know, an inter-brand match. It hurt. I mean, not that the U.S. title could really be hurt anymore because it doesn't matter. But it was cool. I mean, two really great wrestlers. They, you know, worked really hard. It was just a good match to watch. It was good wrestling.
Yeah, it was solid. It was, I mean, what you'd kind of expect from Nakamura now. I mean, it's, you're not going to get, you know, Wrestle Kingdom type stuff from him anymore, and that's fine. But, you know, to get a solid 20-minute match from a guy like Rollins, it just works well.
Mm-hmm. So the Monday night Seth story continues as he goes out to the ring to challenge Dean Ambrose to come out. Dean appears within the Titantron that he lives in. And then cuts what may be the most, one of the most uncomfortable promos I've ever heard.
Yeah.
To paraphrase, because I mean, I could pull up the actual quote, but that's a lot of work. And I don't prep for this show at all. They were talking about, you know, everyone's got to pay for the misdeeds of the Shield in the past and what they were. And look at Roman, you know, he's got to answer to the man upstairs. Oof. I get it. And it's, I mean, I don't want to say it's not good heat, but it didn't, I think it's so soon. Like if it wasn't even another month away from now, I think it would get a better reaction, but we're just 1 month removed away from Roman's announcement.
Right.
I think this is actually a case of too soon, because it's one of those things, you know. In a situation like this, too, they, you know, Roman would agree with this, right? I don't, you know, I think these two guys are Roman's buddies. Like, if something like this comes up, they're gonna check with him and be like, "Hey, man,
this isn't some kind of, you know, a writer decided to do this with two complete strangers and whatever. This is something that Roman's probably like, yeah, you know." Potentially even offering a suggestion like, oh yeah, you can do, but still you kind of got to take a step back and go,
yeah. And you couple that with the promo that opened the show where Stephanie was talking about, oh, you know, we had to check with the lawyers about dismemberment, even though we just went to Saudi Arabia. This was a case of no one really paying attention to what was being written down Monday night. And it was just the Seth Dean thing was so uncomfortable. You could tell it didn't get any heat. It just, the whole crowd got just kind of quiet.
Because it is. You have this, I mean, you mentioned the fact that it's so soon, and it is so soon. And the thing is still, I mean, there's still so much concern for his well-being. This isn't like, again, like an injury where even, where he may be out for his career, like a career-ending injury, where you can turn around and go, oh, you know, that was punishment for his sins or whatever. And,
yeah.
You know, people go, oh, well, oh, man, that's tough. But no, there's a legitimate chance that Roman could die.
Right.
And you're cutting a promo going off of that. Yeah. Like, you just reminded people that, hey, you know what, remember – we haven't mentioned Roman in a little while. Remember that he's dying, potentially? Remember that?
And, you know, I think that's a huge part of what they did now, and it's going to keep happening, is because they want to keep Roman's name out there.
Mm.
Right? Because that way, when he comes back, I think even if you don't do this, he comes back to a huge babyface pop.
Of course.
The likes out of which I still believe we will have never seen before. But they're trying to keep his name out there. And I think they're just trying to make it edgy and cool and hip to do something like that, but it's not. It was just gross and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that happened. And then Dean hit Seth in the balls.
Because that's what we do.
That's what heels do. Heels hit people in the balls. Tag team matchup. The Raw Tag Team Champions, AOP, defeated the Bar because Drake Maverick pissed himself.
This was a Vince McMahon special this week, wasn't it? It was just,
God, yeah,
got
dude.
Everybody getting hit in the nuts, guys peeing on themselves, like.
Yeah, so one of our pin mail questions this week, because I'm going to start trying to work pin mail into the conversation when we're talking about stuff, because it seems to flow better that way. Yeah, look at that. From Noah's Ark 84 at Inlock 716. Everyone knows that Vince loves his juvenile jokes, but how bad is this latest one with Drake and peeing himself? Terrible.
Yeah.
And then they had to go Monday night and reiterate it even more with the catering segment.
Yeah.
It's just not funny.
It's one thing to one-off it and just like, oh, well, yeah, that's a whole thing. But yeah, to kind of build into it. And the worst part about it, too, is like I would have rolled with it had AOP just turned around and just mutilated
Drake.
Drake, but I mean,
the bar or Big Show.
Well, on Monday night, like the fact that they were still making it, like, have them turn around and destroy Rhino and Heath Slater for making fun of him, you know, after the fact. But no, they kind of leveraged that into the Bobby Roode, Chad Gable thing. And then they give Chad Gable a clean pinfall over AOP.
Well, they have to come up with a contender. And the only way you can do that is to have somebody beat the champ, right?
I mean, in another situation, it would have been fine, but God, I hate that gimmick. Okay.
The worst part, too, is the crowd organically chanting AOPP, and I'm just like, oh, Vince is going to love it. Oh, yep. No.
Mention it. Mention it on commentary.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So that was a thing. What we thought was going to be the match of the night, but didn't end up being the match of the night on Sunday. Buddy Murphy defeated Mustafa Ali to retain his Cruiserweight Championship. Man, I wish these guys got more visibility the rest of the time. Because when they've got the time and they go out there and work, they get the crowd. But no one knows who Absolutely. They are because they're stuck on 205 Live.
I mean, we've totally given up on Cruiserweights on Raw at this point.
Right.
And it used to be a thing of, okay, well, we'll introduce them every once in a while and they'll have their own little match and you'll get to see them. And, ooh, where can I see these guys on a regular basis? I can watch them on their separate show.
Yep.
It's gotten out of that, I think, just to the fact that Raw still didn't seem to, even with 3 hours, Raw doesn't know what to do with them. They put them in a, like, 4-minute match that just isn't what you would see on 205 Live, so it wasn't doing anything for them.
And especially with as good as 205 Live has been the last few months, like, this is the perfect time to do that, to introduce those guys, show them off, build the brand, and then you transition the customer into the network and into 205 Live, and then they watch that and they're hooked. But I'm also thinking, wouldn't it be better, and I think this is a possibility, what if we move 205 Live off the network and it ran on Facebook Watch? Even as a half-hour show, 2 matches a week to get these guys some visibility.
Right.
You know?
I don't know.
Or maybe it gets added onto Fox Sports 1 when the Fox deal happens, you know?
Yeah.
I just think there's got to be a way to get these guys the recognition they deserve for the amount of work they're putting in. I don't know.
I mean, it was fine on Raw, just let them do the match that they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of, like, either turning it into a 6-person tag that just mushes together and everybody does one spot and then it just ends.
Right. And you don't need to change the canvas. You don't need to change the ropes. Like,
right.
Just do it.
It's a match. They're the same people that wrestle otherwise. Yeah. Like,
Anyway. Then we move on to the 5-on-5 men's Survivor Series elimination match, where Team Raw would defeat Team SmackDown. This was a match. Can I just say the highlight of this match was Shane McMahon?
Sadly, I thought it probably would end up being.
Yeah. The whole ending bit, when it got down to him and Miz as the last two, and the Miz just keeps convincing him into doing different coast to coast, and he just looks like, I can't do this. And he does it anyway. I thought it was really well done. I was very sports entertained in those moments.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a Survivor Series match. I don't know. I don't have much to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't anything necessarily big about it, or like you said, it's just a Survivor Series match. It's just to kind of go along and have these two groups of people that would never face each other any other time except on Survivor Series.
Right. I think the other biggest thing that comes out of it too is them just jobbing out Joe in 5 seconds. He's got to be.
Is he hurt?
That's what I was going to say. I know there had been that rumor floated for a while, but I feel like it's got to be true. I noticed he did have his elbow, one of his elbows taped up pretty heavily. But who knows? I just think don't even put him in the match then. Like, why?
I mean, you don't seem to have a problem with, like, swapping people at total last minute otherwise. So. Right.
Yeah. So that was a match. 24 minutes.
Yeah.
Then we got to the match of the night. Ronda Rousey defeats Charlotte Flair via DQ. Let's talk about the match first. Maybe definitely Ronda's best match so far. I thought her and Charlotte had really good chemistry together. I thought the storytelling of the match was really good, that it started off with them really kind of sizing each other up and starting with, you know, them trying to both show off their actual wrestling skill.
Right.
I thought that was really cool. The story of, you know, Charlotte's always going to work the leg to be able to lock in the figure eight versus Ronda always trying to work an arm to lock in the arm bar. Really well done. I just thought it worked really well, and especially on, you know, whatever, 4 or 5 days notice, they had to kind of throw it together.
Right. I think, I mean, Charlotte's such a good worker, and just being able to put Ronda with a very good worker like Charlotte or, you know, Becky in the future, that type of thing, you actually get to see how good Ronda can be in the ring and how quickly she's developed a halfway decent worker.
Yeah.
Like,
I do want to contrast that, though, and counteract that point with Monday night's match against Mickie James that she had, which was the complete opposite and was terrible. So, and that's not Mickie's fault. Mickie is a very good worker. So I wonder if as soon as they figured this out, they rushed down to Orlando to work this match. Because Ronda's not going to get any better as a performer if we're choreographing every match move by move, and she doesn't learn how to work with someone that's a ring general or become a ring general herself.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know how much of that too is, well, I guess, I mean, I understand what you're saying about them basically just going into a match instead of having something that's actually planned out. But I mean, is part of that, like, I mean, she was a little busted up too, so
yeah. But I can argue it's that saying, well, then why doesn't she sell any of that Monday night? Why does she come out as smiling, happy babyface Ronda after just being destroyed Sunday night, not showing, you know, other than the physical marks that she had on her from the beatdown? She doesn't sell any of the injuries at all. Not even while the match is being worked. And just, I don't know. I still have massive doubts about Ronda Rousey. And I think this week actually made them worse. When you look at the duality of matches she had this week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about her at this point. I've never been a huge fan of hers to begin with, but like, I've been impressed with the work that she's done leading up to this. But yeah, I get what you're saying, and I don't know. It's been a quick transition, and I don't know. Somebody had suggested to just saying screw it and putting her with Heyman and making her, you know, girl Lesnar, basically. And I could totally see her doing that, but
I'm fine with that. That'll get old too, just like Lesnar, though.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's a lot to figure out with her, I think. But after the match, or well, not even really after the match, Charlotte and Ronda kind of get to an impasse. Both of them are really unable to beat each other. So Charlotte finds a kendo stick and beats the ever-loving hell out of Ronda with it on the outside. Ends up bringing a chair in. The beatdown continues. Of course, she's disqualified to this point. Ends up putting Ronda's head into a steel chair and stomping it. Charlotte snapped, and it was amazing. That's the Charlotte that should be there. Because the crowd reacted so heavy to it. And then she comes out on SmackDown Tuesday night and gets Thank You Charlotte chants.
Yeah.
Like, especially given the situation they were in where the crowd booed Ronda when she came out Sunday night. Cheers Charlotte because she's the stand-in for Becky. They've been able to rehab Charlotte's character, which admittedly was kind of starting to flounder because people were viewing her as the quote-unquote female Roman Reigns, right?
Yeah.
They were able to rehab her in two nights by giving her this edge. It's been so well done. And then you look at, you know, the rest of SmackDown Tuesday night. Yeah, you know, she comes out, says she's ready for Rousey whenever, but she wants a fight tonight. Paige comes out, finds her $100,000. She laughs it off, and then ends up beating individually Billy Kay, then Peyton Royce. Oh, yeah, and then she destroys the two of them together again. Edgy, kick-ass Charlotte is who she should be.
I still laughed at the $100,000 thing.
It's so funny.
It just seems like a total flair type thing. Like, of course you have $100,000. You're a flair.
Yeah, which she should have been like. That's what she should have. Like, that's how they should have played that promo. And be like, okay, whatever. I'm a flair. I got money.
Just take one of my Rolls Royces.
Yeah. Here's two Rolex. Are we good now? Then the main event of the evening, Sunday night, the Universal Champion Brock Lesnar defeats Daniel Bryan, the WWE Champion. And what was a really good match? I've seen a lot of mixed reviews on it, but I loved it. Yeah,
I loved Bryan. I mean, I've forgotten how much I kind of miss like cocky Daniel Bryan.
Oh
like,
yeah, I'm so glad cocky heel Daniel Bryan is back. Like, full American Dragon needs to be coming out in his, like, hooded cape, Daniel Bryan. We need that.
Like, I get, like, ultimate babyface underdog Daniel Bryan. Like, and that worked really well for so long.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Like, it does grow tired every once in a while. It's just, you have him out there cutting the person. And you could tell that, like, when it first started, when he first came out, and the pops were huge, and I don't know if it's because of how they played it or what, but it died down quick.
Yeah, it was all in the booking.
Yeah, and they weren't sure what to do with it, and he was kind of putting over people, and the whole thing with The Miz just didn't take off as much as it probably should have, and then we got Bray involved, and that was dangerous. So what are you going to do? They didn't have anything to do with them. And I'm assuming they turned around. Has he signed his new contract? I assume so. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it would have expired by now. So, yeah, he signed his new contract. So he's got a decent amount of contract left, and I'm sure they're paying him very good money.
Oh, yeah.
To do what at this point? So, all right, let's try this. Mm-hmm.
And the rumor had been that he'd been advocating to turn heel for the better part of a month or so. So it's something he wanted to do, and he's good at it. I think, so you look at Sunday night, you look at him coming out, mocking Lesnar relentlessly, kind of letting Lesnar stalk him around the ring before the match, doing Lesnar's little bouncy jump thing in the ring in front of him.
And that's a thing, too. I mean, if this is something he wants to do, it's going to give him that much more creative freedom. It's going to make him enjoy what he's doing more. Yeah. And it's going to show in the ring.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it Tuesday night that carried over more. You know, you come, you see him come out and say he's killing off the Yes movement. That's a heel move.
Yeah.
So, interested to see where it keeps going. That'd be cool. And then Lesnar's still here. Lesnar, who will face Braun Strowman at Royal Rumble if Braun Strowman beats Baron Corbin at TLC, if Braun Strowman even makes it to TLC, because Monday night shot an angle where Braun Strowman was attacked by Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley, and Baron Corbin illegally during a six-man elimination tag match that ended 3-on-1 with that scenario. And Baron Corbin smashes Strowman's arm between the 6,000-pound steel stairs, which apparently, and no one knew it at the time, was an injury angle to get Braun off TV so he could actually go have elbow surgery.
I loved the injury spot.
I thought it was cool.
Because when you use the 7,000-pound stairs, just the angle where you hit them, it looks like, you know, you're actually like coming down on them, but with the angle that you're using it, it actually protects the arm that's actually in there. But I mean, it just does, you don't have to kind of brace it or anything like that. You don't have to make it look fake. You can just drop it down as hard as you can, basically, and as long as nothing's getting pinched in there, you'll still come out safe.
Yeah, it was really smart too, because they actually had Strowman's arm strapped and Lashley was holding his arm down.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh cool, he can actually hold him down so he won't get hurt here. But yeah, Strowman's supposedly going to be out for the next 4 weeks or so. He's having bone spurs removed from his elbow.
Yeah.
So we'll actually see if the TLC match happens, because that's kind of up in the air if he doesn't heal up in time.
It looked like he cut it pretty bad too.
He got a good gash off the stairs. So,
yeah.
Again, more blood kind of working its way into WWE and adding some adding to a story again, accidentally.
Steel steps, 8,000 pounds and sharp as a knife.
Yep. Does this mean Strowman's going to change the stipulation for that match? He called TLC, but he's going to bring back the stairs match.
They're going to have to write it in again. Tables, ladders, and chairs. And stairs.
Which, and I hope they bring it back so we can get... I still want the anatomy of the stairs video back. Because they've never posted it anywhere, and I need to capture it. Anyway, so that was WWE this week so far. Fun. And then TakeOver. Yeah. TakeOver is pretty good, but before... we'll talk about TakeOver. Did you watch TakeOver?
I still haven't got a chance. Wow.
Hi, Tom.
I just hit puberty for a second for some reason. I still haven't gotten a chance to watch it. I've heard so many good things about it, and I just haven't been able to block a bit of time to actually sit down and watch it. But
we can save that for another day then. But you know what can't be saved for another day?
It was really good.
It was
what
really
can't
good.
Be saved?
Black Friday.
Oh, Black Friday. That's coming up as early as it could possibly be in November.
It is. It's this Friday.
That gives you more days to shop.
Yeah. You get a whole extra week to shop between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year.
And it works out because, you know, if Black Friday is so early, then it gives you enough time to shop and then relax.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be even more deals.
Enjoy the holiday. Have that extra week to be able to trim the tree or put out some of those outside decorations. Yeah. Or, you know, if you're maybe you haven't taken down your lights, maybe you just plug them back in.
Plug them back in, yeah. I feel like we got to get the people into the Christmas shopping mood a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, you could go out to the malls on Black Friday.
Why would you do that? Wait, no, please do that.
I was going to say.
Sorry, I was so deep into the ad read, I forgot what my own job was in real life.
Why would you do that? Because maybe you want some delectable candies and sweet treats that you could only get in a mall-like setting.
Yes. But for everything else.
But, you know, if you want, like, electronics or something, you don't want to fight that stuff. That's the ridiculous stuff. Like, people that go to department stores or electronic chains, like, and they sit outside at 3 o'clock in the morning, or they do the ridiculous thing, like, they open up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
Just to sell video games. Don't do that.
Just go straight to Amazon.com and buy some stuff. Amazon.com. Proud sponsor. What?
No, don't do that.
Oh, okay.
No, this is what you do.
Yeah?
You go to CheatersNeverPin.com. Okay.
Yeah?
And on that website, you'll see this large black box that says Amazon.com.
Ooh, okay.
You click on that box. What it'll then do is it takes you to Amazon.com. You don't have to remember what Amazon.com is spelled like.
Oh,
you
right. Don't. Yeah. That's a hard word.
Yeah, there's high level Scrabble, like 10-point letters in there. Don't worry about it. So you click on that box, that'll bring you to Amazon.com. You do your Black Friday shopping. You go, you look at those gold box deals, you look at all those Black Friday deals. Hell, blow it off for 3 days, go do it on Cyber Monday.
Oh, even better.
You know,
go to the mall on Black Friday.
Go to the mall on Black Friday. Yeah, go buy your candy on Friday.
Hell yeah.
And then buy it on Monday too. But if you decide yes. to do something online, go to CheatersNeverPin.com. Click on the Amazon.com button. That takes you to Amazon. Do all that shopping. Load up that cart. Buy that stuff. But what happens is, no matter how much money you spend, a portion of that gets taken out of Jeff Bezos's pocket and goes straight to Cheaters Never Pin.
Right? Right back in.
And, you know, who wants to give Jeff Bezos money?
You're not
the New York City government.
You're not DC.
No.
No.
Don't give him all your money. Give us part of it.
Yeah. Give it to us. Go to CheatersNeverPin.com. Click the buy on Amazon button. Do some shopping. I thought the music was nice to put people in the mood.
It was. I was expecting a little...
Oh, vocals are kicking in. Glad we got out of that quick enough. What were you expecting?
I was expecting maybe a little Vince Guaraldi trio, you know.
Oh, I got to find stuff that... I got to find public domain stuff, buddy. I was gonna play for more than it was gonna play for more than fair use.
Hey, I'm not a lawyer, so read collective bargaining agreements on my free time.
All right, let's move on to two separate incidents in wrestling this week, which are both hideously disgusting. First, let's talk about former WCW heavyweight champion David Arquette.
Can I say, before we get into this,
sure,
I'm proud of this dude in a way. Like,
I am too, man.
Here's somebody who loves wrestling so much that
he got back into it. His own volition.
46?
47.
I want to say
47.
Okay. 47 years old. And dude has been wrestling matches for like PWG and like independent promotions,
yeah,
just on his own, like not wrestling in like sweatpants and like a t-shirt or whatever. Dude's got his own gear.
Yeah, man, it's cool. He's a fan.
So, and you know, he's learning his spots, and he's at least trained somewhat. I mean, yeah, you know, I've seen little clips here and there, and he doesn't look horrible. I mean, looks better than a lot of other people.
He looks better when he's not wrestling at Joey Janela's LA Confidential.
Yeah.
So
there's wrestling, and then there's death matches.
Yeah. So Friday night, GCW put on Joey Janela's LA Confidential, which Joey Janela wasn't at because he's recovering from knee surgery. But he was, Arquette was booked into a death match against Nick Gage. Little did David Arquette know what he would be getting into. Little did the promoters tell him what this would actually involve. So David Arquette ends up taking a bump through some light tubes, because of course it's deathmatch wrestling, where Nick Gage then proceeds to kind of rake his face through the glass, and Arquette gets his neck sliced open.
Yeah.
That's incredibly careless of a promoter doing with someone who's, yes, he's, you know, he is a lightly trained professional wrestler. I'll give him credit for that. He knows more about it than I do. But that's taking liberties with a performer as a greedy promoter.
So if you go online and you see the match itself in its entirety, or you see some of the GIFs that have come out of it for the spots, it looks like Gage is going for something, and he goes to, like, I don't know what he was trying to do, but he ends up slipping, it seems, and, like, the light tube kind of comes up and slashes Arquette's neck.
Yeah, but so my issue is still, like, you've got someone who's not that you can train for a death match other than being in one. Someone who's not even like a really fully trained professional wrestler in this situation, and you put him in there, like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, it's a huge accident waiting to happen. An accident so far waiting to happen where Luke Perry had to take him to the hospital. That's right. Luke Perry just got a mention on a wrestling podcast. 2018 is wild.
Dylan's still saving lives.
Then they went to the Peach Pit.
After dark.
is that like a 90210 fanfic? Peach Pit after dark?
No, that was the club that they ran afterwards. Like, the Peach Pit, they had the Peach Pit.
Yeah, you're right. But damn it! I cursed. Sorry. Anyway, that's one.
You got pretty far, so.
We're way below average, so I'm still happy. Anyway, you're right.
Yeah, we'll let it slide, but yeah. But that was the club that Tiffany Amber Thiessen ran.
Yeah, okay. I remember now. You're 100% right.
But anyway, Luke is now Archie's dad in the Riverdale show on the CW.
Oh.
So he's still showing up and stuff.
Dropping them Tom bombs.
And Archie's mom is Molly Ringwald. So
she's still alive, huh?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yes. So tune in next week when I gave you more Riverdale updates.
More Tom bombs. Whenever Tom drops knowledge, we've determined it's called a Tom bomb.
Hashtag Tom bomb.
Tom is the Boom. Enola Gay of knowledge.
Boom. I forgot what we were actually talking about.
The David Arquette match.
Mentioned Luke Perry. Yeah. Okay. But, I mean, Arquette supposedly, it then comes down to whose responsibility is it really? And I saw a couple of people talking about it on Twitter, because somebody had mentioned to, I guess, Shane Helms was talking about how basically, because Arquette had said, I guess today, how he kind of apologized, because at the end of the, near the end of the match, after the actual incident happened, you could tell it kind of went off script. He's kind of holding his neck, and he gets ready to leave, realizes that you can't just do a count out in a match like this, ends up coming back. There's a spot. He ends up swinging a chair, like, kind of hard, and they ends up Cage ends up bringing him down, getting the three count. Arquette just leaves, and Arquette ended up apologizing for letting, I guess, his anger get not necessarily his anger, but he said he kind of freaked out and let that get the best of him, and how everybody was great and professional and everything, and just kind of apologized for it happening in general. And Shane Helms is like, nah, bro, they took advantage of you. And somebody had said to Shane, they said, well, not trying to troll or anything, but what, how much responsibility is it to the promoter or booker in contrast to the actual wrestler of getting put into the situation? Like, you've got a booker that's trying to book you into a match that maybe you're not ready for, but how much of it is on the wrestler to turn around and go, hey, I'm not actually good for this match, or, you know, I'm not, I shouldn't be wrestling in this kind of match. Like, where's the responsibility? Is it 50-50? Is it? And Shane said, no, that's on the booker. Like, the booker has to pretty much look at his card, look at the people that he's got available to him, and the booker puts together the card based on who's working for him. So in this case, he's got to look, and he sees David Arquette and goes, well, I can put him in this particular type of match, but no reason should he be putting him in a match, in a death match with Gage.
Exactly. That's what I agree with.
And of course, Jim Cornette jumped in and said, I agree 100%.
Yep. And then he made a wacky face.
Yeah.
Then quickly going to Mexico.
If that wasn't bad enough.
Attempted murder was committed on let's see what day this happened. Was this Sunday night? Yeah, I guess it was Sunday night.
I don't know. Recently. We'll say recently.
Puerto Rican native Cuervo was in a match in Mexico facing Angel O Demonio when in a hardcore match, which is banned in Mexico anyway. Angel O Demonio picks up a center block and throws it at the back of an unsuspecting Cuervo, hitting him in the back of the head, hitting him so hard he had to have surgery today to have a blood clot removed from his brain because of the impact. Oh, yeah, and the center block broke in half when it hit him in the head, too.
What? One.
This isn't damn. Wrestling. Yeah.
God bless that dude's head, man.
Yeah.
If your head can break a center block, damn.
Right? But that just makes me angry on level that's not wrestling. It should never be represented as wrestling. And that's a story that will now always be tied to wrestling.
And, I mean, it came out of, and it's not a thing like, oh, this was a predetermined spot that, you know, like, say, like, people do stupid stuff in, like, backyard wrestling or whatever. It's like, oh, this would probably be a good idea. And then, you know, it goes horribly wrong or whatever. It wasn't that.
No.
It was the wrestler ended up getting apparently hit with a bunch of chair shots, I think it was.
It was.
And felt that the other wrestler took liberties on him. So that was pretty much revenge.
Yeah. And I've watched the video numerous times. Those are pretty typical chair shots. I've seen a few chair shots in my life. There was nothing about those that stood out to me as anything that was egregious.
Mick Foley's going, come on.
Yeah. So that's not wrestling. Screw that guy. The Mexican Boxing and Wrestling Commission has banned him now, thankfully. But yeah.
The fact that he's not in jail is
yet to be determined, but probably won't happen.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Well, Tom, we got a couple of pin mails, buddy.
Okay. Well, we took care of one earlier.
We did. We still got a couple.
Okay.
So I'm gonna need that song.
Pin mail. Pin mail. Pin. Mail.
Ooh. I like that remix.
Yeah.
First up from at tweets from Seth. Expectation for Lars, and have you found Bray Wyatt?
Bray Wyatt's at JoJo's house somewhere. I'm surprised Bray didn't show up at the House of Hardy Halloween special.
There are still more specials to come. It's possible. This is a series. Which,
by the way, if you haven't sought that out yet,
please
go watch that.
Do it. give it all the views so they can continue to make them. It's absolutely the dumbest thing that's ever been put on the WWE Network. And I know Slam City was put up there, so we're going to include that in this conversation.
I enjoyed Slam City. Stop it.
It's still the dumbest thing that's ever been put on the network, and it's amazing.
Legends House?
I enjoyed Legends House.
Okay. We both like bad things.
My expectation for Lars Sullivan. I mean, not good. Because they're just, I feel like they're just bringing him in because they're like, oh, we got to have another big guy. But I don't know what his ceiling is, but I don't have a good feeling about it.
Short term, I think it's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Long term, I don't know what they're going to do with him unless they attach him to someone.
Yeah. Because they're just bringing him in with... Here's my thing with this. They're just bringing him in via vignettes, and then he's going to show up. And then they're just going to have him squash people for 4 weeks. And Vince is going to be really happy with his new toy. And then Vince is going to be like, oh, yeah, I got to do something with him. Cool, he can be on main event.
They can build... Or worse yet, they'll do like a thing with him and Chad Gable.
Ugh.
Yeah. Have like big and little.
Yeah.
God damn it, that's fun.
Yeah.
He's a little guy. Ugh. And he's a big guy.
I just don't have a good feeling about it in general. Here's the next question from Dan McLaughlin at Kaniac176. Is the creative team drunk or high? I'm going to hang up and listen. This is from the very end of Raw last night. Is when this was sent.
I'm going to say they're drunk, but they're not high, because high involves creativity.
Right. Yeah, definitely drunk. Lots of perfect 12 floating around in there. Man, I wanted to go into full Connor voice there and cut that promo, but then I realized I can't. Because that requires a lot of curse words.
Yeah. And you're doing so well.
I am. If I can keep it to one a show, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'll be good with it. All right, Tom. Anything else, buddy?
I'm good. I think we've pretty much wrapped it up, and it's still a relatively long show. It's longer than I thought it was going to be.
We're only in an hour and 2 minutes. We're fine. So let's put a bow on this, Tom. Tell the people where they can find you on the internet.
Go on the Twitter machine at Mr. Workrate, at MR Workrate. You know what? I will say, you want to go find me on other social media platforms, or even PlayStation, Xbox, whatever. I can't get the Xbox from my son, but PlayStation. It's all Mr. Workrate. I don't change my name up for anything else. So if you want to, you know, use that extra effort to find me on some other weird social platform, go look for Mr. Workrate.
There you go.
You might find something. You might inspire me to use something else.
Thanks.
That's it.
Okay. You can find me on the internet at JCBOBBITT, JC Bobbitt, wherever finer social media is purveyed. You can find the show on Twitter at CheatersNVRPen. You can find us on Instagram, which I started using this week again because I remembered we had it, at CheatersNeverPen, spell it all out. We're on Facebook, too. Give us a big blue thumbs up there. Show us how much you like us. Find us on your Roku devices. Listen to the podcast that way. Search in the channel store, Cheaters Never Pin. You can find us on your Amazon Alexa devices. Every morning, the daily briefing. Add the Cheaters Never Pin update skill to your flash briefing. I think it's about it, right? Go to Amazon, or go to CheatersNeverPin.com. Click the Amazon button before you do any of your Black Friday or Cyber Monday online shopping. Kick a few ducats back into the coffers here. I think that's it.
Plus, you can stream the show on the website as well.
Oh, that's true.
I think
you can stream us there. You can always go to CheatersNeverPin.com to stream the show.
Yeah,
and usually the Bitly links that I put in our tweets and our social posts too. That just takes you straight to the page for that. If you're sitting in front of your desk at work and want to stream us, since we're now work friendly, we are SFW.
I always have been. It's you all me. The bad influence.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, that wraps up another week. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there in podcast land. Hope you're celebrating. Have a good time. Stuff your face full of food. Have a good time with the family. And we'll catch you next week here on the Cheaters Never Pin podcast. So my name is JC.
I'm Tom.
And we'll catch you on the flip side. Fuck yeah, I didn't curse.